The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Hirn schließen! Das Blumenpflücken bei der Bahn ist verboten!
State of war will exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
Good evening and welcome to A Walk in the Black Forest, episode number 250-something. I don't know, I can't remember. Anyway, we're just eating chips. On tonight's show, a whole lot of stuff bribing the populace, Aussie culture by the Logies, Big Brother is watching you, millions of peaches, Pete's a French election rap, all that, plus strapping on the golden strap-on. I think it's strapped twice in the same sentence. Oh, never mind.
You did, but that's okay.
Thank you for your support.
That's no worries, our support is always there.
Hey, check this out.
I was waiting. Did you notice I was waiting?
Oh, no, you're a polite man.
How well behaved am I?
You are.
Never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, this...
Hey, was that 360 doing Pet?
Oh, other way around, actually. Yes,
you're right.
And I believe it was actually produced by Tori Amos.
Was it really?
It was,
apparently
yeah.
She's called Tornadus.
Oh, heard that.
Oh, is she really?
That's excellent. I just learnt that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, in that last 10 or 15 seconds, you pretty much summarised, with the exception of... talking about Johnny Canis and a Hitman gig. A new Christ gig, actually. Summarised what we talked...
get it right.
That we talked about during that entire 4.5 minutes. So, guess what? You didn't miss anything!
That's very true.
This is, as I said, A Walk in the Black Forest, 2RRR 88.5M, and I have an announcement to make!
Episode
really?
253.
Do you feel better about yourself now that you've actually made it?
I would like to officially... I do, I've always been wanting to say it.
Oh, you're finally getting the operation!
Yeah, I am, finally.
Fantastic, when they're lopping it off.
I picked up a copy of the local amazing newspaper from the local area here, the TWT, the Weekly Times.
I believe the term is RAG.
RAG, that's correct. Yeah, it's actually a multi-award winning local newspaper.
Oh, really? Who do they win the award from?
Themselves.
Right.
I'd like to officially declare that global warming is a swindle.
That is incredible.
Wow.
That is incredible.
This was an editorial done by the editor, and I should actually note, owner of the Weekly Times, John F. Booth, or more particularly as he's known, JB.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, didn't he shoot Abraham Lincoln?
I think he did. Australians are being hoodwinked in the greatest scam since April Fool's Day hoax orchestrated by media players years ago with the so-called global warming and climate change farce.
That is incredible.
It's right. A farce.
It is.
It's another farce.
Is that it?
That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to officially declare that it is a farce.
Good.
Global warming is a joke. And as John Howard has said a number of times, global warming, if proved to be true, he's right.
Yeah.
John Howard right, we're all wrong. And officially from now, I think in order to say that, this show ceases to have a purpose. It's over. Finish.
Is there any more detail in there?
Not much, no. Not a lot. There's a bit about Labor, a bit about Kevin Rudd. saying that Kevin Rudd hasn't helped the cause when he turns to a second-hand car salesman-style former U.S. vice president for advice and guidance.
Now, you know what I like? You know what I like about the local rag? Mm-hmm. The thing I like about it is that it's unbiased. I can see both sides of that. Do you know how there is both sides? You've got car salesman and ex-U.S. vice president. You see? Both sides of the argument.
You just can't trust anybody who's never been president.
Well, exactly right.
You can't trust anyone who's never been president.
Because how can you be president unless you have the experience of being president to be president?
Exactly. It's just not presidential.
And
of course,
it's not.
And of course, you can't trust Clinton. But he's, you know, or wait a minute, Carter either. Well, actually, there was Nixon. Could we trust Nixon?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nixon founded China.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
No worries. I mean, well, as soon as we worked out Nixon's founded China, we're fine.
I thought it was Marco Polo.
No, it was Nixon.
Nixon?
Yeah, he founded China.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
So it just wasn't there before.
You didn't know that.
That's amusing.
Wow.
What's the, tell us the goss from the thing.
Well, basically what he said...
Nick Officer Nick.
This, of course, is talking about Nicholas Stern. This actually came out a couple of weeks ago, but I only just picked it up because, well, I don't read this.
And apart from that, you were using it for toilet paper at the time.
I actually got it at the Huntersville Hotel.
Did you?
You file it next to USA Today.
I do. Mm-hmm. Kevin will become known as the Rudd-erless one.
Oh.
That's amazing. He should become a writer.
But you know what? That doesn't stop being funny.
No, look, it's constantly funny. Every day.
If he depends on help from B-Al and Sir Nick. Of course, he calls Sir Nick the Joker and says Nick off Sir Nick because we don't need Nicholas Stern here to tell us. And, of course, the other Joker being Al Gore.
Oh, right.
Now,
the thing I find amazing about Al Gore is he has no credentials. No credentials at all. No point has he had information that any other person on the face of the planet may not, in fact, have.
Well, I mean, the big thing he has a problem here is that this is not just misleading us. It's misleading children.
Yes.
And, of course, on the same page of the Weekly Times has the exclusive John Howard column.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's in here every week. Mm. And as we start to build up for the Battle of Bennelong...
Yes, yes. I actually saw some artillery being placed the other day.
Was that the giant Maxine McHugh billboard on Epping Road?
No, it wasn't so much that. It was a massive, massive John Howard phallus. And I believe it'll be shooting all over Bennelong at some point or another.
Nice, nice. So as we...
Will we be annexing the Bennelong?
Well, I'd hope so. That'd be nice. I believe there's actually an exclusion zone around Bennelong too, so anyone wants to migrate through refugee status...
Is that to keep the immigrants out?
I believe so. No, what? It's just to keep the illegal immigrants out.
Oh, right.
Mm. It's to keep out that guy who jumped the wharf.
Well, exactly right. So, I have to say that I feel that Al Gore... the other byline here is Al Gore's science fiction exposed.
Yes, he's a liar.
It is interesting. This does date... I mean, this actually said it only dates from April 4th this year. Mm. But a lot of this stuff does seem to come out of... I'm loath to say this because
someone's rectum?
No, possibly.
More like a right-wing, free-thinking, maybe think tank.
Right-wing. Well, I was actually going to say...
Possibly the Reichstag.
From John Howard's responses when Inconvenient Truth came out in November last year.
Oh, copy-paste, copy-paste.
Yeah, do you remember when Inconvenient Truth came out and said, I don't take my advice from failed presidential candidates?
Yeah, true.
Do you remember that comment?
True.
I do.
He'd rather take from a whole lot of failed ministers.
Plenty of them. Mm. And hello, Amanda, if you're listening. Hope you're enjoying your latte in Rome.
Look, you've got to admit, Amanda Vanstone, being now the Australian ambassador to Italy, is a cruel, cruel thing. She'll never be able to go to Venice. She'll sink the bloody place. Because putting someone like that near that much pasta is just cruel.
The problem I have with Amanda Vanstone...
Think of the environment. Think of the amount of kind of ozone...
You think of Mr. Creosote.
There's an element of Mr. Creosote.
Yeah.
The pasta is only wafer thin. The problem I have, of course, is that Amanda Vanstone is a career politician. Has been a politician for many years. Overseen an interesting.
She's also a cow.
Yep. Overseen an interesting department. The department being, of course, Dimia.
Dimia Borgia. They're a band.
They are. And Dimia have been noted, I think, for their successes in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The Vivian Salate case, obviously, a great success. In keeping Australian citizens out of our country.
Yes. I don't think Australian citizens should be allowed in the country.
They've invested a lot in barbed wire fences.
They have. And they've supported Australian companies. Who
walking the plank.
Yep, very important. And, of course, caring for the mentally ill. I mean,
yes.
they need caring, they need management, and I think the way they managed Cornelia Rao was perfectly appropriate.
Oh.
So, excluding all of that, Amanda then is forced out of the cabinet because John Howard, reasonably incompetent.
Was she forced out?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
John's pretty much dumped her. Are you? Yeah, I can't hear you for some strange reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm off for some reason.
some reason.
You are off. Is Richard actually on?
No, I'm off.
Oh. No, I think you're on. Well, your mic has died.
Richard's mic has died. So, on that very pleasant note, this is the Walking by Frost Ritual R88.5.
I'm back.
You're back now. Okay.
What happened?
The switch was on.
The on-off switch.
You know, I love a microphone with an on-off switch.
So do I, because it to me...
Especially when it's sitting in the middle and the slightest movement rocks it off.
That's a good thing.
It denotes a professional piece of equipment. Show me a professional piece of broadcasting equipment that doesn't have an on-off switch... I'll show you a liar.
Yes, because I'll need to switch at some point, won't I? That's why the switch is
there. Yeah, exactly.
There.
That's correct.
We can continue on, if you like, with Amanda
Vanstone. Oh, no, I was just going to say that I can't think of a more stupid decision than putting Amanda Vanstone in as minister, as ambassador to Italy.
I think it's a great idea.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Why?
Just stick her over there as far as possible.
That's a good point, too.
AK-47. When you absolutely, positively got to kill every motherfucker in the room, that's no substitute.
Now, of course, this week, the Howard Yunta, as we affectionately know them, as they are in fact known internationally, the Howard Yunta, basically decided to bribe the Australian public, starting with, of course, the much-hated IR laws. Now, many people in the media see the IR laws as the big problem to Howard winning the next election, of course, as if it's going to be a Democratic election anyway. They said...
Are you claiming that the changes to the Electoral Act... are undemocratic?
I wouldn't go as far to say that. I'd just say they wouldn't so much as undemocratically democratic.
I heard today it's a two-phase project, basically. Mm. This year, only conservative right-wing voters will be able to apply to vote. And next year, they're going to roll out the left-wing.
Oh, okay.
And it just happened to have fallen that way.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's just fair.
I mean, you know, you can't bring all those big changes in at once.
No, so it's got to have a stage implementation.
It's got to be rolled out.
Yeah, I agree.
Is what they were saying, yeah.
Will they run out of money for the advertising campaign for that second part?
They may well do. They haven't done the budget for that point.
Fair enough. It's sometime in the future.
At some point.
But it's not actually a core promise.
No.
It's just something they're looking at.
It's not even a promise.
No, it's more an undertaking.
Yes.
The government has made an undertaking.
They've actually...
Point for discussion.
They've actually lodged it as a lie.
Yeah, that's
excellent.
It's a core lie, though.
It's a core lie.
It's not just a... Yeah.
That's a good idea. Look, I think that the way John Howard has actually been honest and open with the Australian people to be able to...
Well, you've got to know
to
where
label
you stand,
things.
You do
have to know where you stand. And for it to be labelled a core lie, I think is a really important stage in its development.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the amount of transparency at the moment is incredible.
I don't think
we would have this amount of transparency in any other kind of, you know, benevolent dictatorship, really.
Or as it's described around the world, a centre-right government.
That's true.
Because, of course, the next step beyond a core lie is a core irrelevancy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then we go into the non-core promise. So it's at least two steps away.
I thought you were talking about Amanda Vanstone there for a second.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
No, she's a 50-stone promise.
Jeez, you're being generous, aren't you? She'll be on Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Now the government.
She could be on The Biggest Loser this year.
She is the biggest loser.
That's true.
No, wait a minute.
No, she's not.
Now the government has gone on to say that they'd implement a, quote, fairer use policy and financially compensate workers who agree to trade away award conditions such as penalty rates, annual leave loadings and public holidays. So the idea is if you trade away your rights, we will pay you some money. Possibly,
well,
in the future,
For workers under $75,000 a year.
That's right.
So that's number one. And secondly, basically, if you're already on an AWA, you're fucked.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So you're stuck. If you've already done it and done what they told you to do, fuck you!
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, interestingly enough, the governor said that, no, this is not a backflip. No, it's not. In fact, the Prime Minister has said, and I quote, "This is not about overturning any reforms. This is about putting in place a stronger safety net." Now, this word safety net... The way he's described it, if I remember correctly, safety net may have actually been used in Iraq from time to time. We're creating a safety net.
Yep, yep.
It's a buffer zone.
Yep.
And look how well that turned out.
That's turned out pretty well, actually.
Well, it has, actually, because I'm pretty safe.
I like the fact they've taken the war somewhere else so it doesn't come to us.
I feel really quite warm inside, if you will.
Yeah. Do you want to put the air on?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Shouldn't swallow.
That democracy has come to Iraq.
Mm.
That's the most
come
important.
On Iraq, as it goes by the way. Now, oddly enough...
No, it's more sort of... You know what? If you're really describing it in sexual terms, I would describe it as a coprophiliac's nightmare.
Wow.
Or a coprophiliac... Yeah. Actually, no, even better. A a copy of Bill Hicks Fantasy.
We are getting highbrow.
That's deep. Now, oddly enough, if
what,
you actually...
What, you call shit-loving highbrow?
Good. Calm down, people, calm down. Oddly enough, if you listen to what Peter Hendy, from the Australian Chamber of Commerce at Industry State, said, he said... Exactly.
That's what he said.
Their strength... Have a listen to this. They're strengthening, or quote, they're strengthening the workplace safety net. Now, do you think it's odd that particularly the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry may happen to be paraphrasing the Prime Minister in their unbiased opinion? I think that's a little strange.
Not really.
They may be quoting a paraphrasing of the Prime Minister.
Oh, that's a very good point, actually.
Well, particularly they're probably quoting the press release they received 4 hours before the media.
Yes, but the orders they were given beforehand. Well, this was organised at the meeting beforehand to make sure everyone was on the same page.
I'm starting to believe that the Australian population don't actually buy this shit. Because, okay, let's look at this. Rudd comes out and puts his industrial relations changes on the table.
Yes.
Opens it up at the press club launch.
Yep.
Talks a lot about it. People like Joe Hockey. Happy Joe Hockey.
Yeah, Happy Joe Hockey.
Happy Joe Hockey.
You know who he is? He's actually the Hamburglar. He's not a grimace. I think he's more a grimace than a Hamburglar, but I think he's pretty happy.
Happy Joe Hamburglar is out there basically saying, you know, Kevin Rudd, he's a great bloke. Yep. I like him. We go and play tennis together.
I was the happy hockey.
Yeah, fair. he's very like happy at the moment. So he's out there. Kevin's his mate. But you know what, Kevin? You basically make me shit my pants at the thought of you becoming Prime Minister.
Mm.
That's what he says.
Mm.
Then he goes out and says, we say Labor has to release its policies.
Yes.
So, cool. Labor does, at its national conference, releases probably the most detailed set of policies it's put out this early from an election in over 10 years.
Well, they want to win it this time.
Correct. Almost uniformly, there was Peter Hendy from the Business Council, Chamber of Commerce, so the head of the Business Council, and all the usual apparatchiks coming out saying, you know, this is going to be the end of history as we know it, every worker's going to get sacked, the only people who keep their jobs are the managing directors, particularly those of Qantas. and you know, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
it's going to completely destroy the hard work of 10 years of Liberal government rule and all the underpinning infrastructure created by Keating and Hawke, which I don't like to talk about.
So all of us.
So all of this. None of that had any bite in the media. I don't think your average Australian really cared. Because they looked at it and have gone, you know what, yeah, okay, there's probably a connection between Labor and the unions. You know, it always has been. It's been that way since, like, 1896.
It's a given.
What's your point, Pete?
My point is that the Australian population, I think, aren't as stupid on a lot of these issues as John Howard is portraying them.
Mm.
What John Howard actually wanted people to do, which was get Labor to release its policy, so either A, he could go through the policies and find a simple addition error, or he could do what he has done in the past, which is pilfer the best parts of the policy, which is what he's done.
Mm.
Reintroducing the no disadvantage test, basically saying, you know, we're for the workers.
And, oi, oi, oi.
And it has, to some extent, stolen Labor's thunder.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, people still looking at it going, I don't think they're buying Howard's line.
It's interesting because I don't know exactly how much media attention Rudd has actually got for the policies released at the conference. Because think about it, the environment policy that they put out was actually really far-reaching. It was actually a very good idea. These, you know, no-interest loans so you can, you know, have solar power, have water tanks, stuff like that. But where's it gone? Have we heard of it since? That was like a week ago, and nothing's happened.
It's a long time in the media cycle, though.
Mm.
A week. But it's interesting.
I'm glad I raised that.
I mean, okay.
It was so good, we had no comment.
No, exactly. Move on.
This is what John
covered
Howard...
covered all the bases. It was beautiful. It's just we had nothing to add. Nothing to add.
With John Howard, you talk about the whole concept of the backflip and whatever else. This is what he actually said when he was launching it with Happy Joe.
Did he have a big thing of champagne to smash across the bow?
Of Joe.
I
hope so.
Yeah, right across his face.
This is what he says. Perhaps I could encapsulate the essence of the message I've got. And what I've heard as I've listened to the Australian community, what people have said to me...
get fucked, you little turd.
That's the message I think he was hearing, and that's why he's done this.
All right, yeah.
What people have said to me is, Prime Minister,
you are a
wally. Get fucked, you little turd.
These reforms seem pretty good for the economy. There's a lot of new jobs, and small business like them. I'd like to know which fucker out at a pub is sitting there with a scooter going, yeah, they... oh, these seem pretty good for the economy.
Yeah.
Small business seems to like them. Who you got in the fourth? You know, that's not going to happen.
That's true. Look, I think the thing
you
is...
you got in the fourth.
Yeah. So, the media like the idea that they have, but they're not going to.
So, his next line, and this is the line I love. He says, what they're saying, you know, the lonely jobs, they're also saying that I haven't been affected by them. I don't know anyone who has been affected by them, but I hear that they might affect people, and I hear people are worried that they might, one way or another, have penalty rates taken away or their overtime payments taken away.
Mm.
So basically, no one's actually been affected. You've never heard of anyone be affected.
No.
But, you know, you might think that perhaps one day, maybe sometime in the future, perhaps,
maybe
that someone's going to be affected.
So
maybe he gets affected.
Yeah.
The thing that that annoys me.
But
you've got more to go, because I want to tag on the end of this, because I'm actually pissed off about
something.
I was
just going to say, I don't understand when John Howard comes out and says,
the mother meets the father.
And if he hits it, I don't mind.
Does that explain Amanda Vanstone?
It does. Okay.
Look.
In spades.
Cattle breeding is an entirely different story altogether. Animal husbandry, it's a beautiful thing if you're into it. Now, what I don't understand is when John Howard comes out and says, this is the end to penalty rates, this is the end to overtime, are we now to believe that that statement he originally made is in fact not true?
What, that this was the fairest package ever to come out in Australian history?
Yes, and that the point that it was the end to those. That's what he said. That was the end to those.
This is more fairer.
Oh, it's more fairer. Oh, so it was fair,
don't
but now
be, don't
it's fairer
be cruel.
Than fair.
John Howard wouldn't lie unless he was specifically labelling it a core lie.
Okay.
What I'm concerned about is the fact that, according to the statistics, 45% of Australian workplace agreements already breach every minimum award condition previously guaranteed by the Prime Minister. Okay, so basically it's gone back on his statement.
Mm.
So there's no reason to believe that these latest changes technically will be enforced when the existing inadequate protections are routinely ignored. So now that we ignore the regulations that made it worse for people under the regulations that were supposed to make it worse. Oh, I'm confused.
Mm.
Mm.
So,
what?
I'm just looking at you, because you've been sitting there you've been stewing on something.
Have I?
Yeah, you have. You've got something to say, I know, I can tell. I can smell it.
The interesting thing about the whole IR stuff,
yeah.
If it wasn't complex before, well, if you want to look at it simply, it's just get rid of it.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at it complex, mm-hmm. you know, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. The good thing about the Labor conference,
yep.
in the last week or where it was, is that now they all sound the same.
Yes.
And Labor's basically saying, well, actually, we're not just going to kick it out. We're going to take bits of it. We're going to leave bits of it in place and add a few little things to it and maybe get a few benefits here, a bit of benefits there, but generally it's not a bad policy and we might do all right. And if they're kowtowing to industry by doing that in the hope to get into government, fine.
Yeah.
But if they don't throw the whole thing out when they get there, I'm going to be very pissed off.
Yeah.
And my opinion of Labor has gone down in the last week or two because of that.
Yeah, no, fair enough too.
Those tough noses sitting there basically saying that some of those policies are actually good things.
They're not.
It's like, get fucked.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Right?
There is no logic to it.
It's tempting to vote for the frickin' Greens, knowing full well that my vote could not get them into power because of that.
No, no, I agree.
They should stick to their principles instead of... I've had my say now.
But on the other hand, if you look at it...
I was just wondering what your opinion was, because, you know, you'd vote for the frickin' monkey if they put it up there, right?
I would.
What pisses me off is I have voted for Anthony Albanese in the past. Well, what pisses me off is their continual move to the frickin' right.
Yeah, no, I
and
agree.
It's like, I'm not going to vote for you when you get to a certain point.
But they have...
Right? Even though you're an alternative... I'm not going to vote past this point.
Yeah.
But they've actually... What the government has done is very clever. They've actually outmaneuvered the opposition because they've actually put... They've moved the centre ground so far to the right that, in fact, when they try to manoeuvre, they can't. Because even when they move back, they're still going centrist. So the government can still go, well, we used to do that. You're not doing anything new.
There's actually a fundamental problem here. The fundamental problem is when you're arguing against conservatives, it is almost impossible to win. Because conservatives don't give a shit. In most points, conservatives at the moment are in government.
Yes.
So they are like up at anybody, right?
Yep.
So John Howard says,
"Do you want to explain that?" I gave
Abe the finger.
Yeah.
Not the first time today.
So
I can't sit down.
John Howard gets Happy Joe out there going,
"Your thought,
Kevin Ruddy's my mate. I like him." Don't not going to go to his daughter's wedding because I think she's a scrag. Blah blah blah.
Doesn't you like to rephrase that?
He didn't go to Kevin Rudd's daughter's wedding.
Why not?
Of course, she was a scrag.
I'll remove that from the record. I'll strike that from the record. He didn't go
you
to Kevin.
To remove it from the record.
That's very true. We haven't printed it onto the record yet.
No, we haven't printed it on the record.
So write that down.
Yeah. So.
The record broke.
So he did. So he Happy Joe's out there and says, we demand that they put out their policy in detail. Now,
in detail.
Labor are completely stuffed. They put out a policy, they get it torn apart or stolen, as they did this time. They don't. They're under constant threat that they're not prepared for government, blah, blah, blah. You're now in the stupidity of the argument that John Howard says the only person who can be Prime Minister in this country is John Howard.
It's amazing, that.
Because you need to actually have the experience of being Prime Minister in order to be Prime Minister.
Mm.
So that also does leave Gough, Malcolm Fraser, Hawke, and Paul Keating.
Well, we could bring Gough back. I've got no problems at all.
To answer your question, wouldn't
Menzies have a slight problem with the fact that only John Howard can be Prime Minister?
I think John Menzies have a huge problem with that. Mm. Go and kick the little fucker's ass. I'd like to see that. Bitch slap fight down between yeah, Menzies good. And Howard.
Menzies just walk in and step on him.
That's true. My point here, people, is that I
agree. That'd be a prize fight for Bennelong, wouldn't it?
It would be a prize. It would definitely be a prize fight for Bennelong. I agree that it is disgraceful that Labor is going further and further to the right in order to win. And I think it is disgraceful that the Australian population expect that a party has to go further and further to the right in order to win.
Yeah.
Now, what are the alternatives? A right-wing Howard or a right-wing Rudd? Both of them are reasonably unpalatable alternatives.
Mm.
A right-wing Howard is probably more unpalatable than a right-wing Rudd.
It'd have to be, because if the thing that's missing from John Howard's, any of the Howard...
His jackboots.
Well, the thing is missing from the Howard policies is any kind of social equity, any kind of social conscience at all. It's just not there.
Yeah.
I love this thing that they've done at the moment. So they've taken all this money out of hospitals, out of mental health, out of environmental policies, out of education, out of arts, right? They've taken billions of dollars, so that they can now bribe the Australian public to vote for them. They're going to put all these new little places in childcare, they're going to subsidise children, they're going to do this, that and the other. None of which has
and
to do
and give a shitty little tax cut.
Exactly. A crappy little tax cut, when all they really need to do is actually look after the people at the moment, which they're not doing. There's no social conscience. They're basically just paying people off. It's the most absurd, vile bribery. It's bribery. And it's interesting, actually, look at the newspaper columns this week. They're even calling it bribery.
Yeah, and
the government's latest bribe to the Australian public is to pay them off. If you
but
can't
what
find...
Pete says is the Conservatives don't care. We consider all we like and say... But John Howard doesn't do things for the socialists.
Of course he's not going to do things for the... Yeah, but John Howard stands there and says, yeah, I've lied.
Yeah.
Look, I care. John Howard stands there and says, I only govern for 51% of Australia. The rest of you can get fucked. No one cares. Everyone says, that's all right. That's no problem. The reality of the circumstance is, what you have seen around the world in the pattern towards the right, it's happened in France, it's happened in Germany, it's happened in Italy, it didn't happen in Spain because they've lost... like 85 people to a terrorist attack, and primarily because their involvement in a war created by the Americans. Mm. It's going to happen in Britain. There's already moves towards the Conservatives back in Britain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Conservatives...
A very, very right-wing Conservative Party, too.
David Cameron is extraordinarily right-wing.
They're Thatcherites. They're not, I think the thing is... last week was the anniversary of Margaret Thatcher coming to power. And it was interesting that the Conservative Party in England now is not so much Conservatives as they are Thatcherites. And I think if you look at how there's certain Thatcherite leanings to Howard's policies that are beyond Conservative...
Leanings?
You can say... Well,
yeah. It's copyright infringement.
Well, that's true. There are certain things you can say that are endemic to Conservative rule, right? So certain things like cuts to the arts, cuts to education, that's endemic to Conservative rule. What isn't is the wholesale slaughter of massive parts of the Australian populace, of any populace, the ideas and thoughts and feelings and actually caring for these people. There's a social structure in place to care for people,
But it's also a process to move people from being caring, you know, people to being hard-assed, hard-assed Conservatives. Howard did that majestically. If you want to look at this from a purely economic point of view, Thatcher did it like she had a battle axe.
Oh, absolutely. She went through it with jackboots.
She went through it with jackboots. Howard did it fantastically. He did something that a Friedmanite economist that he is, hardcore right-wing economist, would absolutely, you know, rather chew off their own leg than do, which was intervene in a free market.
Mm.
So Howard went in
but
there.
But he was forced to. He had to because Keating already put us into the free
market. No. What Howard did was he intervened in the free housing market.
Oh, okay.
He gave $7,000 or $14,000 to people, to get into the housing market.
Mm.
What that did is that set off the housing boom in Australia.
Mm.
That made a whole lot of reasonably normal conservative, conservative in non-political terms, I mean just normal,
run-of-the-mill yep.
people who voted Labor and really did care, it made them screaming blood-hungry conservatives. Because basically, John Howard said, you're all mortgaged to your assholes,
mm.
and if you don't stay with us, 27% interest, mm. you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your kids, you're going to lose your dog, you're going to lose your pool, you're going to lose your three SUVs that you mortgaged your house, and if you're really unlucky, you're going to lose your giant LCD screen. You know, and that scares the shit out of these people, and yeah. they have become blood-sucking.
Yeah.
Conservatives.
Purely driven by economics. That's
purely
thing.
Driven by economics. So
there's no social thought in there at all.
He is, if you look at it from comparing Thatcher, Reagan, and Howard, the troika, mm. if you will, of evil empirists,
mm.
Howard's been the most majestic of the lot because he has done it not with jackboots. He tried with jackboots and it fell to the ground. The whole waterfront dispute is a classic example of where his jackboot diplomacy just fell apart because that's not Australia, but he did it very subtly.
Mm.
Labor has an almost impossible task to get those people back because they once you have tasted the taste of you know the poor
yeah,
person's money. Blood
yep.
yeah, yeah.
you're never going to go back to just drinking your VB.
Yeah, but I wonder whether people see if they were smarter they would actually say to people look into your social conscience. Mm. You know your kids go to schools right. You know the schools are suffering. Why are the schools suffering? Because there isn't enough money.
Yeah,
the
but
money's
ah,
been taken out of education.
John Howe's done really well with that. Because those people now send their kids to private school. Because the public system is so bad, they don't say, fund the public system. They say, we'll send our kids to private school.
Hang on, is the public school system that bad?
It is horrendous. Not that I know a lot about public education in New South Wales.
No. I didn't know what your background was.
No, no. But, you know, I'm a plumber. Okay. But, you know, I'm
here. By the way, my toilet is still leaking. When are you
no,
going to finish that?
Next week. Right. But... the public education system is screaming. There are demountables everywhere. With the I'll say where for a second. They are losing teachers left, right, and centre to private schools. They are underfunded,
yep.
and that is nationwide because the enormous amount of federal funding that used to go to them is now tapped on such stupid programs as ensuring they have a flag in their front.
Yeah, yeah.
Of their, they yep. can have a roof that leaks and no library, but if they don't have a Australian flag, they get nothing. Or they now must have a minister. Or well, a religious yeah, guidance. Yeah. You know, that sort of shit.
Well, just to
and
let you know...
You didn't mention hospitals.
I forgot that. Mm. Next week.
Well, the government has $66.2 billion to spend. That's how much they have. $66.2 billion that they've had in the... They've just accrued that in the last couple of weeks that they can actually spend. Now, what they're going to do is spend that on bribing people instead of fixing things up. Mm. Actually putting it back into the schemes they took money out of in the first place so they could actually get surpluses like this.
Did you know that the Australian university system is now 75% non-government funded?
Oh.
So, from an era where they were 95% government funded, they are now forced to get 75% of their funding from non-government sources, international students, research grants, private tuition fees, and as we're now finding out, full fee-paying places for first-year university students.
Mm.
And now are expected to bear the burden of the cost of voluntary student unionism by dealing with
yeah.
all the food and,
yeah.
and services provided by student unions. I mean, it's a frightening thing, and we look at... Okay, here's a classic thing, right? Now, in the paper today, the Australian cricket team, there's been a lot of discussion about them going to Zimbabwe, the, shall we say, centre-left government of... centre-right government of Robert Mugabe.
Yeah, just vaguely centre-right.
Vaguely centre-right. Now, there's a fine that's imposed on the Australian cricket team if they don't go to Zimbabwe, don't tour Zimbabwe. Imposed by the World Cricket Body, the ICC, and they've said that there's a $2.4 million fine. Now, $2.4 million is roughly equivalent to what the current federal government gives almost entirely to community broadcasting all around the country.
Hmm.
488 stations, something in the vicinity of 69,000 volunteers, including the three of us sitting here. Now, $2.4 million, they're going to give Cricket Australia, a multi-million dollar company, that $2.4 million to not tour Zimbabwe.
Yeah, right.
Because their argument is, you know, $2.4 million isn't very much money, you know, it's probably a good thing for diplomacy, for democracy, to give Cricket Australia $2.4 million to not tour.
Can I just say...
That's a bit weird, because I would have thought Mugabe's policies are pretty damn close to John Howard's, it's just that they're black.
And he hasn't seized farms. Although he's just about to seize the Murray River.
That's what I mean, you know. Yeah. I mean, if he could kick out anybody who isn't, you know, five generations Australian...
He would have a chance at it.
He would have a go.
And the thing is, look, if the government gave me $2 million, I wouldn't go to Zimbabwe either.
We now cross to the United Nations for an important message.
Bonjour, la gens de la France.
Hello, people of France.
Bienvenue à la terre d'Oet de Halle. Nous espérons que vous vous amusez ici.
Welcome to the bright winged land. We hope you have a good time here.
Avant que vous commencez votre nouvelle vie, montrons-vous autour de quelques dispositifs de votre nouvelle maison.
Before you begin your new life, let us show you around for a few features of your new home.
De quoi vous verrez la décadence et artistes cuisinement de la femme. Promouvez dessous la camp sans repli de syndicates, pommes de jette et eau à la vente.
On the right, you will see corpses of artists who have died from anger. Further on, the cages are filled with unionists. Throw apples at them, if you will.
Vous noterez que votre maison est la replacée avec le dit couchette au lieu de votre employé. Si ce ne serait, aucune réduction de la productive et démontrera votre engagement accru à votre travail.
You will notice that your house has been replaced with a bunk bed at your employer's premises. This will ensure no reduction in productivity and will demonstrate your increased commitment to your job.
Nous avons pris la liberté de classe d'établissement de programme pour votre orgeante Star-Spangled Banner, car vous êtes maintenant la shérif à journée en Europe, la considérant de la Sahim chaque matin et force.
We have taken the liberty of scheduling classes for you in the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner. As you are now the deputy sheriff in Europe, the recital of this anthem every morning is compulsory.
Et en conclusion, voulez s'assurer que dans toute votre routine quotidienne, régulière que vous mettez de côté l'heure d'arrêter et centrer la rose et son développement avec la haut de la cume, que c'est un montant protestant en son et désaccord en généralement avec la politique de votre nouveau gouvernement glorieux.
And finally, please make sure that in your regular daily routine that you put aside time to stop and smell the roses. They are grown with the bones of the scum who riot, protest, or generally disagree with the policies of your glorious new government.
De côte gauche, vous verrez en terre en friche stérile. Si en volant, c'est Jeline Royale, de phase pour toujours. Voulez ne pas entrer dans cette terre. On l'a interdit et reste punissable par le déplacement de votre compère banquier et capitaine que vous prisez tellement considérablement que vous avez voté pour Nicolas Sarkozy.
On the left, you will see a barren wasteland. That is where Ségolène Royal will live forever. Please do not enter this land. It is forbidden and is punishable by the removal of your bank account and assets, which you treasure so greatly that you voted for Nicolas Sarkozy.
Vive la France!
Long live France!
This is, Rocket. This is Walk by Fire, Stitch Ball, 88.5 FM. That was Veruca Salt with Cedar. We also heard, before
you know,
that, very important...
You know, I'll never hear that song again.
Yeah.
I'll be happy.
We'll just mark that number down and never
play
it again.
Really? You don't like that one?
Over it.
Then just mark that number down and never play it again.
Well, it's busy in the prep room, isn't it?
It is busy. And we should actually also say, before that important
announcement...
They're here
for the rabbit orgy.
They are. Before the United Nations announcements... pronouncements. Mm. We heard Matthew Sweet with Girlfriend.
Yeah, I knew we'd get something interesting on the satellite.
You just keep moving it, twisting the dial.
Eventually we got something.
I'm glad we bought it.
And I'm really glad because I've always been worried that my French isn't good enough. And so I was able to translate most of that before the announcer came
out.
Yeah,
well,
that's
done,
brilliant.
Anyway.
Well done. For our French listeners.
We should actually remind people who have
tell you what. If we hear any more French from your mouth tonight, I'm going to hit you.
Uh-oh.
Oui.
Oh, no, I'm leaving.
So, we should actually announce on this program that officially global warming is a scam.
Look, I think this should be a running theme.
It's a swindle.
It's apparently, it's a swindle by the church.
It is a swindle by the church. And if you went to page 22 and 23, you'd find that out.
It's the Great Resurrection swindle.
Boom, boom. Now, Big Brother has returned for its sixth season, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah. Have you watched it?
I have watched this year's Big Brother.
Is it any good?
How are you finding it?
It's interesting because there's a bit of criticism about Big Brother this year and the fact that they're going for more Guantanamo Bay-style accommodation.
You know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's about time. I actually want to see the guard towers, the dogs, the landmines.
I personally just... Yeah, fair enough. I was going to say something extremely rude, but I won't, because I want to actually, by the way, apologise to Joe Hockey, Happy Joe at this point, that he actually didn't go to Kevin's wedding because he had something else on.
Kevin didn't get married, dude.
What did he Kevin's have daughter's wedding. That's not sure.
What did he have, his daughter?
I think it was he was too busy launching the new Work Choices
list. Oh, that's brilliant.
I just thought I'd ignore that and just let it ride straight over. So this year's Big Brother's been in criticism. They took four unsuccessful contestants, locked them in a completely white room, dressed them all in white clothes, fed them only white gruel, and kept them in there with the lights on 24/7 until they broke.
Yes. Well, they didn't really break, let's be honest.
But they had a big red button in there that if they wanted to break, then they could hit the red button and get out.
And what happened if they did press the red button?
They got out. And
they got money.
They got, well, one guy got $500.
Yeah.
It's not exactly what you call
a lot of
money.
It's worth it, isn't it?
That's a lot of money to sit there and eat gruel for four
days. It's more than anyone else is getting.
That's very,
a lot of people in Iraq do that for free.
Yeah, that's very true. Actually, even for less than that. So there's a big criticism of that. Of course, the other big criticism, they had two big scandals this week. The big scandal mainly was...
Gretel's a man.
That's not the scandal I heard.
Oh, right.
No. Oh. I heard Gretel was a man.
Oh, look, yes. I get confused. You know I get confused.
Now, the big scandal they had this week was they had a... And they've done this before, where they give them those really lifelike doll babies.
Yep.
And they gave one to one of the contestants who had had... And they knew this, had had a miscarriage 18 months previously.
Mm.
A late-term, reasonably late-term miscarriage. So she broke down completely. And then to show the compassion of the new Australian population, got voted out of the house.
So, but, dude, hold on. Whoa. In context, thy limited knowledge of Big Brother, the chick's a bitch anyway.
Well, that's beside the point.
She's a troublemaking pain in the arse. She's been...
How do you know?
It's on in my house and I've been told.
But the deal is, though,
yeah,
they
it's
knew...
television. It's television.
They knew...
Drug of a nation.
They knew that she was a... that she'd had a miscarriage.
Breeding ignorance. Feeding radiation.
Yet it was a selective choice to pick people. They didn't pick everyone in the house. They just picked people.
Oh,
they deliberately picked her.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I think it's unfair to say that the population got rid of...
Well, the people in the house nominated her first, right?
That's true.
Exactly. Kill them all.
So the other side of this, of course...
Yeah, it's not about picking her, it's about not picking the others as well.
The other big scandal
that's
they did...
a good point.
...was that they secretly put a couple in there.
Yes, a couple of wankers.
They secretly put a couple in there, and they were
told... How do you secretly put in wankers? Aren't they all wankers?
Well, they have to be, there's no one to have sex
you
with.
Can't
what do you mean
there?
Secretly wankers?
No, he said secretly wankers.
I said secretly
put in a couple.
I was watching last night as someone was...
up late?
How do I put this... Yes, I was sore up late last night, or some of it, as one of the contestants...
He's still off to Mike Goldman.
Yeah, well, that's definitely up there on my list of things to do before I die, I tell you.
Oh, really? It's not that bad. Anyway, back to the text. Thank you, Peter. Anyway, one of the...
Peter on Warfare Forest, raising the standards for at least 10 years.
I don't even know exactly which housemate it was, but it was probably insert name. He was, how would I put this in a nice way, suckling on TJ.
Nice.
Who's TJ?
TJ's a barmaid. She's a friendly young lady, but also a bit of a biatch.
All right.
Ah, fair enough.
She's caused some problems in the house, generally from her personality.
So, with bringing the couple in, what they also then did was bring in the girl's ex-boyfriend.
Ah, yes, of course.
And he was also told not to tell anybody anything. And he was told to go in there and create a little bit of trouble. So, deliberately, okay, granted, you've gone on this program, you should expect that you're going to have some psychological torture. Hell, you're on Channel 10. But,
Well, the people are watching it are being psychologically distorted.
Yeah,
at least we're not seeing reruns of Seinfeld.
And you're going to have to talk to Gretel at the end of it.
Oh.
Now, And then you're going to have to go on Kyle and Jackie O.
Look, as much as I'm...
just,
as
talk about psychological torture.
I think I'd rather tool off in front of Mike Coleman.
As much as I'm a big... too. As much as I'm a big fan of Brazilian transsexuals, Gretel just doesn't cut it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Hmm? Are you? Apparently.
Yeah. So, but excluding all that, so they've had a few scandals.
I think the term is shemale, actually.
I'm
anyway, back to you.
They've had a few scandals this year, and of course the other big scandal that's hit Big Brother from last year's Big Brother was, A, there was a very, very well-written article in the Herald about by a former housemate from last year, talking about the psychological damage they're doing to people and the fact that he still hasn't got over it yet.
Oh, really? Who was it?
I can't remember his name, actually, but he was in the house last year. The other thing, of course, is that former Big Brother contestant Crystal Forskett...
Yes.
And you did say Forskett.
Otherwise known as the Crystal Foreskin. Yes.
That's her. Crystal Forskett has, A, appeared on a rival network doing It Takes Two, the singing program.
Ah.
But also there's been...
Which is interesting because all their management is actually done by Harry and Miller.
Yeah.
And you think he'd try and keep them to Channel 10.
You think so. Mm. But a rather embarrassing piece of Big Brother footage has been circulating around the internet recently.
Oh, and what footage is this, youngster?
About Crystal Forskett.
Oh, really?
Someone was sitting there all night watching the 24-hour feed on the Big Brother website, which you have to pay $8 a month or week for.
Mm.
Sitting there watching the feed and captured her while she was in the bathroom shaving herself.
So?
In various places that you don't normally like to have a camera shaving yourself at.
I don't know, I've seen some of that footage, it's entertaining, has its place.
And that's been moving around, and Big Brother, of course, who have tried to make this a more wholesome series, and less sexually oriented.
Yes, they've taken off the adults-only specials, There's no reason to watch now.
The point
Oh, really? They've taken it out of air?
They've taken off the adults-only section, yeah.
Wow, that was the only thing that... I used to ridicule Big Brother until the second series halfway through, and I saw a couple of the late-night ones that just happened to be on. Mm. That's what they all say. Just happened to be on, and that's what got me into it.
Yeah.
And like the third series, I watched normal.
Exactly.
As opposed to the adult one. Oh, wow, there's non-adult stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like the Daily Show was like, oh, wow, there's a non-adult version of Big Brother.
Yeah.
I know. I was a big fan of the Tits and Giggles show.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
Anyway.
But the problem I have, of course, is last season they just went over the top. And they had, like, basically they just wanted everyone to screw constantly.
Yeah,
this year they've removed that aspect of it. They've put couples in there.
They've taken their genitals.
They've put a reasonably intelligent...
I don't even know why they thought last year that would be a thing, you know?
I don't know, but this year, of course, as we know, John Howard last year came out and said that...
John Howard's in the house?
Oh, I wish. I put him in the white room and he'd just never leave. Mm-hmm. John Howard made a big comment last year over the
trolling off with Mike
Holmes. The turkey slap.
Yes.
Furor. You remember the turkey slap furor from last year?
I do.
He called that the show should be axed. Now, my question,
I think his government should be axed.
Well, that's also true. I'd like to put him up for nomination this year and see what happens. It was interesting. John Howard made a point about the something that came out of last week's Big Brother with the contestant Bodie. Yeah, Bodie?
Oh, from The Professionals.
That's him, yeah. And his mate Doyle, he's in there as well. But he's not allowed to tell... that's Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to tell anyone that he knows Doyle. And then they're going to send in the Sweeney to just really cause a problem.
Yeah.
And when you get The Professionals and the Sweeney in the same space, you're in a real problem. Anyway.
And then you get Terry in there.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. John Howard's last Big Brother again, branding it atrocious. After the word, and I'm quoting here, people, so if you find this offensive, this language offensive, that's your bad luck. Branding atrocious after the word cunt was aired in a PG-rated time slot. During last year's Turkey Slap Furor, the Prime Minister called for the reality TV series to act. He said his views have not changed, and TV shows should err on the side of caution. John Howard actually stated in an earlier interview last week that he believes that all swearing should be banned on television and radio.
That's fucking ridiculous.
That's what I reckon, too.
Did he actually say the word?
The word was said on air. John Howard did not say it.
Damn it, that's such a grab, isn't it?
That'd be great. You could do so much with that. You really could. But Mr. Howard said...
Dave would go crazy.
He said that he has no sway over the program's direction. Big Brother is, however, an atrocious program.
Oh, really?
Program.
Well, that's a bit of insight. Wow, John Howard has no control over the program's direction.
Although he has said...
Well, I thought he was, like, moonlighting as a director.
That's true.
Well, I actually thought he was Michael Colleen.
He says they have no sway over the direction.
Is he really the guy, whatever, Frisket?
He could be.
Or Brisket, whatever it is.
Forskett.
Crystal Foreskin.
Now,
Crystal Brisket.
Here's an interesting use of government power. John Howard doesn't like Big Brother, thinks it should be taken off air. Mm. Obviously says he has no power over it.
Is there any other programs he doesn't particularly like?
Well, they didn't like the 0055 numbers. They didn't like...
He probably doesn't get into play school.
He doesn't
much.
Like the up late. But,
no.
But interesting, by the way, so I'll get, remind me to come back to this. But did I tell
you... What about Four Corners? Not really into that.
He certainly doesn't like Media Watch.
He likes to change it to Three Corners.
Yep.
Yeah, right. And it'll just be the triumvirate: him, George Bush, and Tony Blair.
Yeah. Well, no, there's Four Corners now because Sarkozy's there.
But does anyone really trust the French?
Well, it should be changed from Four Corners to the Fourth Reich, maybe.
Oh, nice.
Funny, but topical.
So, my point.
You know why? Because, like, the Third Reich was, like, in World War II with Hitler, and it's associating Hitler with Howard, and that's why it's funny. It's the Fourth Reich.
Does that mean that Costello will just forget that the whole Fourth Reich existed?
I don't know. I didn't think that far ahead with the joke.
Okay, yeah. Work on it, though.
Quite happy to come back to
it. Okay, just keep working on it. Mm. I was in Zagreb, of all places.
I bet you were.
And I was in
every week you were in Zagreb. Oh.
Such a name dropper, isn't he?
I am, and I was staying in this hotel in Zagreb.
Can I just tell you that Zagreb rang me and told you to get out of her?
I know. I was in a hotel in Zagreb watching their cable television, and the cable television they drew in Zagreb was from Germany, because obviously Germany's only about an hour or two away from Zagreb.
Actually, I think during the Blitzkrieg it was about 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so. But what bombers did the Germans use?
Stukas!
There we go. Those Stukas.
And HE-111s. There was nothing wrong with a Heinkel.
They're going to make guns now. So, my point. Watching a German version of Quizmania, which is exactly the same as the Australian Quizmania. Yep. Come on, ring now. Yep. This is a pretty easy question.
What's Quizmania?
Quizmania, these late night cheapo quiz shows.
That's not Mike Goldman's thing, is it?
Mike Goldman has...
You've never seen Quizmania?
No.
Tonight, stay up at midnight and watch Quizmania. It's the most inane program ever.
It's basically they've got $1,000 to give away. You've got to keep ringing 0055 numbers. Well, the new equivalents.
Yeah, 1-800 something.
Whatever the new equivalents are. And you've got to keep ringing, and they randomly pick people out to say, so, which one of these is not a dildo? It's a list of six things.
Exactly.
So you have to list things that aren't a dildo.
Mm.
Which
is all about lists and things?
It's all lists,
It's all lists, yeah. You just have to pick the word or the whatever.
Yeah.
Because Mike Goldman started that with the whole quiz.
He did, right? He was the first to do it, and then it was followed by Hot Dogs.
Yes, Hot Dogs did.
The previous contestant from Big Brother.
Very true. And they made so much money out of it.
Mm. Yeah.
The Channel 9 and Channel 7 comedy. I don't know if the Channel 7 one's still on, but the Channel 9 one is definitely still
on. It's called Quizmania.
That's right.
But I saw the German version of Quizmania.
With the lovely Nikki Osborne.
Hosted by
Quizmania.
Quizmania. Hosted by...
I'll shoot you in the back of the head.
Don't even try.
Yeah.
You're out.
Okay.
But
you got to be there at the time
and get his accent. That's not Russian. So
how was that Russian?
There's an expansion kit coming, by the way. They've announced it. Yeah.
Was I right?
No.
So
really? Why?
No.
Stop talking about war for a second. I want to get my point out.
Anyway, what was that? Back to you. How wrong was I?
Fairly wrong.
Hold on, I said English and Russians.
Yeah.
How wrong was I?
Very wrong.
What are they?
It's different US forces versus different German forces.
Anyway, German version of Quizmania, but with a girl who looks a lot like the Australian Quizmania girl. All good.
Nikki?
Standing there.
I love Nikki.
You know? Call now and etc. 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 Doing all that
Except
sort of stuff.
Not in French.
In German. Mm. So, she's standing all there, and then she gets to the final thing. The final number on the list. And basically, she just takes her top off.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she's just standing there topless. And
did you win?
I don't know. Quite possibly she did. I just didn't see the point.
That's what you're getting at.
Just like, the top just comes off.
Wow.
German television.
That's incredible.
I want Hot Dogs to take his top
now,
off.
Now, can I just say...
And Mike Goldman.
If
Mike Goldman took his top off,
there'd be a lot more chewing around.
And I've been told it's healthy.
Indeed.
So, there you go.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Indeed. Now, I was actually going to talk about the battle for Bennelong.
Now, the battle for Bennelong, of course, we've been following exclusively.
Now, that music's appropriate.
Got a grab? All right, intro? Sting?
For what? Battle of Bennelong? Yeah. Do you want me to make one?
Yeah, okay, you can make
one.
You're the panel dude.
Oh, all right, fine.
See if you can get him saying the C word.
What word? Oh, that word.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Was that actually a quote?
He didn't say the word. He actually used the word C word. Like, it's like, you know, pardon me, Jeanette, but I've just got to go into a poo-poo.
Mm. You know? He actually says that.
The C word would be conservative.
Oh, sorry, cat cacks carry a
kettle. Oh, God, I want to know.
Anyway, battle for Bennelong. Now, as we know, Bennelong being John Howard's seat here in the very fine area that we are currently sitting in, which is Leedsville.
Yes.
They have, of course, drawn in a redistribution and have drawn in, as described on, I think it was the ALP site, the poorer areas, the working class areas of Ermington.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that nice?
Where there's a hell of a lot of housing commission.
Mm.
Having grown up in that area, I do know there's a hell of a lot of housing commission in Ermo, as we used to call it.
But
Ermo.
Luckily, the government's paid them a lot of money to have children, so they'll always be in housing commission.
Why would the government allow...
I don't know why Howard allowed that redistribution to happen. I actually have a sneaking feeling...
But he's paid them off.
I have a sneaking feeling he took his eyes off the prize.
Of all electorates, you know.
Yeah, no, I think he actually took his eyes off the prize. It could be that, or he was just so bleeding arrogant that it wouldn't matter if his seat was, you know, in the block at
Dundas.
Redfern.
Yeah.
He'd win it. He'd think he'd win it.
It's also pretty scary when, if you were to ask anybody in this country whether putting more poor people into his electorate was a bad idea, I think the entire country would say yes.
Yeah.
How's that for a...
I know.
You know, an indication.
I think he's just arrogant about it. I think he's totally arrogant. So Labor has sniffed that arrogance and decided that he really needed to shower more than once a week.
I was going to say, like a bad curry in the afternoon.
Though, did you know...
Is it such a bad thing as a bad curry in the afternoon?
Oh, yes, I've had a bad curry in the afternoon.
Did you know...
It usually gets bad around about 7 o'clock. It hits you about 7.
Which is technically not an afternoon.
No, but you see, you have to have had it before. So about three or four, and then it hits me around about 7 o'clock.
Did you know?
And then it's usually like a bilious... I actually call it chicken bilious.
Did you know that Keira Knightley only showers once a week, and she said to her cast members to not get upwind of me, because I do smell a bit musky.
Why does she only shower once a week?
I don't know, she just likes to shower once a week.
Did you know she's also filthy and disgusting?
That, of course, was in today's, the premier newspaper in Australia, MX.
Why does she only shower...
I don't know. It was just one of those interesting but boring facts.
Apparently she's giving up acting.
I don't know what you
like
were doing
fun.
Reading MX.
I read MX every day.
You should be reading TWT.
I read that every week now.
You learned your lesson.
I haven't learned my lesson. So, Maxine McHugh...
That was a church service up the road.
I've heard that.
Oh, really?
Page 22-23.
Should we go?
Yeah.
And the global warming... Is a joke.
Some sort of
and
sermon about some carpenter.
And Al Gore used to sell cars.
Did he?
Amazing.
I never knew. Anyway, back to you.
Labor smelt the fear in John Howard, or certainly smelt the complacency of John Howard, and put up one of their probables, or smelt the finger, and put up one of the high-profile candidates that they have, shall we say, jimmied into seats, along with Greg Combay. And the ex-military guy, the guy who led the
Goebbels.
That's him. And don't start me, by the way, on this whole federal
Goebbels.
I was on the other side.
Never fought anyone.
Goebbels? Yeah, he did. He had no balls.
So he fought his own gender.
He fought his own gender.
That's very true. So what? Goebbels had no balls. Hitler had one.
Yes.
What was it with the Third Reich?
No, I think Goebbels had two balls, but they were too small. I'm confused.
Anyway.
I don't know. I've heard it somewhere. They used to sing it on Anzac Day, believe it or not.
And don't start me on the whole parachuting Greg Combay into the Newcastle seat.
What's the parachuting...
not even going to go into it. But basically, Labour just proved how much of a
bastard... That was so easy.
Maxine McHugh has been put into Bennelong, which of course is quite popular.
Come on, get to the stats. Get to the stats. I want to know what's happening.
Maxine McHugh has been...
You're just wanking around.
I know. I'm trying to get there.
I kind of called him Mike.
Okay, do that. No, it's people
go
who
on, get on with
around
Mike.
To Mike.
All right,
not,
to Mike.
Not Mike himself.
What's the time, by the way?
It's 11:38.
Fantastic.
Nice. So, Maxine McHugh has been... parachuted into the seat. She's standing to the left-hand side of God every time he speaks. Julia is actually one step behind him. I think Maxine McHugh's a little bit more...
Well, you know why? Julia Gillard also does a similar thing to Keira Knightley. She only showers once a week.
Oh.
Got to stand downwind. She's a little bit musky. I don't know
know if musk is a bad thing. I mean, I hate the smell of musk, but, you know, most people would think that musk is a good thing.
There's certain areas of the body that need to be...
You only shower once a week and you smell so musky.
Can we not, talk about... I don't want to even contemplate Julia Gillard in anything like that.
Sorry. Oh, really? No. I've got the pictures.
Oh, good man. Maxine McHugh's been put into the seat. She's very popular at the moment. I was in Canberra on the weekend. There was a lot of press about McHugh in Canberra in the fine Sunday paper in Canberra. But interestingly,
the Canberra Times.
I don't know if it might be the Sunday Canberra Times.
Sounds scary. Oh, ow. That hurt.
What the hell was that?
So
just call Mike quick.
Now,
Mike.
Interestingly, there was some stuff in the paper this week about the battle for Bennelong. This is why I bring it up in this week's battle for Bennelong.
Yes.
The margin is 4%. It's a 4%. It's a less than 4% margin. John Howard holds the seat by about 3.85%.
Too high.
After redistribution, it's probably a little bit lower than that. Now, he, under the two-party preferred, only won, got 53% of the two-party preferred vote against Nicole Campbell, a member of the Ryde City Council, and did quite well, including the fact that it was a 12% vote to Andrew Wilkie.
Yes, that's true.
The former head of the government's Defence Intelligence Agency. And, of course,
he's not the son of Alan Wilkie, is he?
I don't believe he is.
No.
I went to school with him.
Did you? Alan Wilkie? Yeah. How old are you?
No, Alan Wilkie's son, Andrew Wilkie.
All right.
Could be Andrew Wilkie. I don't know. It may well be. I don't know. I'll have to do a bit of research into that. Maybe you should.
No, could be fucked.
Yeah, fair enough. Was he your age?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's about 76.
Yeah, about
I'll look that up.
75.
Fair enough. Because he could have been younger than you in that year. So there was a lot of stuff about the 4% margin. Now, the interesting thing is that the commentators are actually not calling this a marginal seat.
Right.
What are they calling it?
They're basically saying that because people will be in Bennelong will be too scared to kick out a sitting prime minister.
A dwarf.
Yeah, pretty much.
They'll be too scared to kick out a Nazi dwarf. That's what you're telling us, yeah?
I think that's it.
Right.
So they reckon that the people will be too scared to kick out John Howard.
Because he's going to personally come around and shoot anybody who does
it. Do you want to take on Jeanette? Do you want to take her on?
I've seen...
Only if Mike's there.
I've seen Jeanette in Chatswood, actually.
Have you?
I've seen her down there still, buying at the Food for Less is where she shops. Food for Less.
Yep.
She's down there buying her mandarins.
Yep.
And I've seen her down there
security with
times.
Her?
No.
She's not down there smiling at the poor people.
No, but you know what she does?
This was Chatswood.
All right. Hey. There are poor people in Chatswood.
Can I just say?
There's a fence and a giant boundary there with
police. I parked outside your old house the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
What were you doing outside there?
I was going somewhere in Chatswood.
Oh, wow.
I went to Northbridge last weekend. Not this weekend.
Who cares?
Last weekend.
I don't.
I had
take a poll. Who cares?
I had my passport.
All in favour.
I had my passport checked at Northbridge. At the Northbridge. I did. I said, what the fuck are you doing here? Born in Parramatta?
Yeah.
I had to get a visa.
I had to get a visa.
I had to be strip searched by the Border Patrol.
I'd like to point something out.
She got through, though, because she went to a private school.
Northbridge?
She got through. She went to a private school, so she got ward.
Northbridge is the gateway to
Northbridge.
The North?
The North.
Yeah. I'd just like to point something out here. Now, Peter's well-known class hatred of the North Side is well-known.
Disgust is the word I prefer.
It is. Mm. My point being this. In a seat which is potentially on the North Side, where we could potentially kick out the sitting Prime Minister of the right-wing junta, and
Bennelong isn't the North Side.
Just bear with me.
Not anymore, it's not.
We used to be, once upon a time.
Not anymore.
Just shut up, I'm making a point.
It's off the Malenko River now.
Anyway, back to me. Remember, I'm the one over here, I'm important. Anyway, and of course, in the North Side seats generally have had a fairly big swing away from the Conservative government, where in the meantime, is what I meant to say.
During the meanwhile,
thank you, Tolkien. Out in the west, your homeland, sir.
Yeah.
I would say your posse, your area of
your brothers,
your area of interest. More and more conservative forces have in fact encroached, and now is the homeland of the evil junta we call the Howard government. How, sir, could you in fact be the wordsmith for this blitzkrieg against Australian society?
I wish I had a funny answer, but I don't.
Hail Howard.
Exactly.
What?
Nothing.
What? All I ask is for one thing.
Mike Goldman.
What's wrong with Mike Goldman? To the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country,
I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I like it twice.
Oh, good man. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches.
No. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I hate Pusa, so that's okay.
I hear that. Mike Goldman told
Pusa?
Me.
President of the USA.
He wouldn't know. Anyway.
I don't know what it was.
Oh, that was
scary, the fact
that song
you
was
know what the acronym
that song was dedicated to.
The Licky Licky Sucky Sucky.
Uncle
Captain
John?
Nancy Dwarf.
Uncle John?
No, JB.
And to JB. That
JB,
was,
Jesus,
the man who, the man who's opened our eyes to the great global warming swindle.
That's it.
That was Jesus Christ posed by Soundgarden. Here on 2888.5 M. No. And it's sometime in the evening. Coming close to midnight. And it's time, ladies and gentlemen, once again for Monkey Bob. Followed by Pusa.
Can you secretly tell me how much time we've got left so that I can paste this and the audience don't know? While the intro's on, tell me how long to go. 9 minutes?
Yeah.
This is fantastic. Welcome back to...
So other forces then? Other American forces? Other German forces? That's not very good. Couldn't they just put like a thing on and made them costumes brown?
Apparently what it is, it's going to be a concentrated Panzer.
Oh, like so, Blitzkrieg.
Yeah. So more on that.
Armored assault.
And on the US side, I can't remember.
Oh, Panzer Grenadiers.
Yeah, well, they've got them already, but there's going to be even more detail. And then the US one, I can't remember what it is, but it's more on one of their particular. It's probably more about the airborne because there's only like one.
Oh, I wanted Russians.
I'm going to do tomorrow.
So peaches.
Anyway,
peaches.
Oh, sorry, we're back on something important and interesting now. Okay, good.
Now, if you remember last week that I told you that.
www.frankanddale.com if you want to know what these stupid tools are talking about. There we go.
Yeah, and I've got to talk about my other project in a minute, so
okay.
I've got time for that. So, last week
have
or the week
paid
before...
Have
I have.
Oh, good.
Well, I will do.
Oh, good.
Speak to Mike.
Okay.
He's my agent.
Agent provocateur.
Yeah, I mean, he can send you a vial.
I'm sure he can.
Noel Fielding of the Mighty Boosh, right?
Yep.
You know the Mighty Boosh. You do now, because I told you last week and you were just ignorant.
Yeah, we know about
the Mighty Boosh. Sure,
no.
The Mighty Boosh. Isn't that something you get waxed off because it's not fashionable?
They're an English comedy duo.
Yeah. Oh, the Mighty
Boosh! They're amusing. They're amusing. They do, like, stories.
Funny things.
Know. Funny things like that. Ooh, they're like funny guys.
Yeah.
And allegedly, someone put on MySpace the fact that she's going out with Noel Fielding.
Yep.
Right, and this is what we reported last week, and all the papers picked it up as well. And then some said that it was Pixie.
Yeah,
who is going out with Noel Fielding?
Pixie's 12,
16.
Yes,
she's 16. Peaches is 18, and on here, she's actually come back. That Peaches has come back and said it's all a lie.
Oh, good.
About her and Noel Fielding. Yep. She says the story's rubbish. I know Noel's girlfriend, so it would be bad if we did something.
That's fair enough too.
So what she's really saying is not
morals.
That she's not interested. She's just saying she might be interested, but she can't because she'll get beaten up.
Exactly. By some mole.
Yeah, if you're reading between the lines. It's caused loads of problems.
Scrag
and now,
fight.
That's it. It's caused loads of problems, and now these kids keep putting my number on the internet and call me, telling me I'm a bitch. It's really getting on my nerves, because fans of the Mighty Boosh are now spamming her MySpace page, telling her that she's a bitch, which is a bit unfair, because she is not
have
a
you,
bitch.
Have you added Peaches as a friend on your MySpace?
No.
You should.
Do you have
I
a MySpace?
No, I don't.
Do you have a MySpace?
I did stop for a few seconds because I knew the question was coming to think whether I should say that I do or don't. And I made the decision. I'll probably say that I don't.
I'm
I don't mind the
up.
Odd lie.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm going to look it up.
Do you have a MySpace?
I do.
You do?
I will do in the next couple of weeks because of this project coming out. Anyway.
Have you paid MySpace as well?
What?
Paid MySpace as well?
You can't pay MySpace.
I'm just keeping the joke going. It's not funny, but I'm just keeping it going.
Good man.
Well, you see, technically, if you're keeping the joke going, it's got to be funny. Otherwise, it's not a joke. It's keeping the unfunny part going.
What about John Howard, though?
And
he's not funny.
Anyway, so...
he is. when you put it.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to talk about another little story here.
Okay.
Now, earlier this month, Channel 4 got into a bit of trouble because they ran a contest on the Richard and Judy show.
Yep.
I love Richard and Judy.
Hmm.
And basically it was called You Say We Pay, where you actually call in.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you leave. I think it's you got to sing a song, or something like that.
Yep.
And then 24 people will be picked as winners.
Yep.
Randomly selected winners. Yep. Right? And basically, what happened is the company they outsourced it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, programmed the computer ahead of time.
Yep.
So when the callers called in,
mm-hmm.
they'd already been. Picked.
Oh, yeah, I was actually in England when this scandal broke.
Yeah, right, okay. So, basically, I think it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon it was
yep.
announced.
Yep.
At 9 minutes past 5, which
yep.
was according to the contract,
yep.
An email came through from the company
yep.
listing the 24 winners.
Yes.
And then a few minutes later, they said, ring up and leave your message and
yep.
participate in the yep. contest. So they were still asking people to enter
yep.
after the winners had
yes.
been picked.
Yep.
And of course, it's that pay for...
Yeah, yeah, yep, so. Yep, yep, yep. Big
so
scandal.
Yeah, and the other thing they got in trouble for is Big Brother last year, apparently.
Yep.
They got people to vote for one of the evicted contestants to get back into the show.
Yep.
And they got 3,000 complaints from people who thought they were being misled because they'd already paid to eliminate a housemate, and now the housemate was putting back in, and they wanted their money back.
That's a good point.
There was actually a third scandal, which was a kid show had an electronic drawer that broke down while it was Blue Peter, actually, the very famous Blue Peter, that broke down the machine. So they just grabbed a kid who was actually in the audience. Who was there because he was like a daughter or a son of a producer or something, and then said, "Here's our winner."
Oh,
and they'd had like 15,000 entries or 10,000 entries connected, people texting in and whatever else, and bing, Blue Peter got in real trouble.
Wow,
I thought that's probably not the only thing I got in trouble for.
Isn't Blue Peter your porn name?
That's correct.
Did you live in Blue Street?
I did.
And this story here, the director of programs at Channel 4, Kevin
yep.
Ligo,
yep.
was commenting on Richard and Judy and saying, we'll probably won't do any contests for a while yet. But he basically was also saying that it was unfair that people were complaining about Peach's Beginner's Guide to Islam, which we
yep.
talked about before. She went
yep.
to Islam, and did that show with Beginner's yep. Guide to Islam. He said, honestly, this channel and I have done more to try to... illuminate the Islamic world to the public than anyone else.
Yep.
We have done hours and hours of programming on Islamic culture, Islamic art and current affairs, and one tiny part of it was a young girl with interest to her peer group going off and having a look at what Islam means in Morocco for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
Not good.
I thought
that was funny. Obviously, it's not fucking funny. So, she was also seen at the...
Sorry, you lost me at Peaches.
Yeah, the Kate Moss Topshop fashion launch.
Oh, yes.
Where the whole shop was sold out of things. Who gives a free? And,
but wasn't sold out of cocaine.
Which is interesting.
Because the two interesting things in Peaches this week are... if I've got time to do it. There's a thing called the Million Masterpiece. Basically,
yep.
25,000 people and more contributing funds.
Yep.
You pay to
yep.
get your own sketch
yep.
included in a big mural thing,
yep.
right? And Peaches has done one.
Yep.
So if you win the mural, you get a special Peaches sketch.
Yep. All right.
And here's the Peaches sketch.
Oh, that's
beautiful. That's beautiful.
And if you look up Million Masterpiece in Google, you can actually search for people by name and you'll find her sketch.
That's
Peaches Gildoff.
I'd just like to say that, it's okay for Peaches to come out and talk to us about her life, but the idea of her with a horse is disgusting.
Called Shunder One.
I know.
Whether I'd want that on my wall, I don't really know. It says Fifi loves Peaches.
And there's TF, which of course is the name of...
what's his name?
From the comedy duo.
Yeah, Noel Friedman.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noel Friedman.
You stop listening at Peaches too.
And the last one is this is I just thought I'd do a special one from January last
yeah.
year that we'll go back in time. Woo! Peaches is making
out of time.
I hate being famous and people claim to know me because of my surname. I hate people who give their children stupid names.
Yeah.
I hate people who give their children stupid names. This is from the girl whose name is Peaches Honey Blossom Michelle Charlotte Angel Vanessa Gildoff. Her sister is called Fifi Trixabelle Pixie. and Heavenly Hirani Tiger Lily.
Get in your plug before you run out of time.
Bonnie and Clyde, go see the website. We'll plug it again next week. www.bonnie-clyde.com. It's an improvised comedy series. It's sort of like The Machinima Frankendale, but it's with real people instead of things. That's it.
We'll see you next week. Auf Wiedersehen, people.
Auf Wiedersehen, guten Abend.
It's been lovely.
Heil Howard.
It's
been. Heil Howard.
Heil Howard.
And coming up next after this is Fabrication Debris, featuring a tribute to the late Don Ho.
I'm confused already.
He's a ho.
I'm not.